1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Peter is writing to encourage believers that had scattered from Jerusalem because of persecution. And he wrote to encourage them and to instruct them as well. If you would stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's Word together, and we'll look at the first seven verses of the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. He gives instructions to the elders and to the youngers, but then the younger people, then everyone as a whole, as we'll see here. First of all, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen to verses 5, 6, and 7 in the Amplified Version. It says, likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, that is, the ministers and the spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe or apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, that is, those who are insolent and overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. And he opposes and he frustrates and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, or blessing to those who are humble. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time he may exalt you. Verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, cast them on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come this morning and this time to open his word together and for the Lord to speak to our hearts. And just come and open your heart to the Lord for what he would speak to you today out of his word. And Father, today in this place, we give you thanks and we give you the glory. It's not because of anything and all the things that we do in this world and this life that we are here. But Father, it's because of the working of your grace in us that we stand here in this place. And we thank you, Father, for those garden times in our lives when we can draw near to you. We can humble ourselves before you so that we may truly hear and know from the realm of reality and the realm of truth that our lives, Father, may express your will and our lives may express your truth in a way that those in darkness might see your light in us. And we do pray, Father, today that you bless the reading of your word. And we do ask it in the name above every name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. In this little epistle of the Apostle Peter, as he wrote to them, he addresses three life questions. We're just kind of get the setting for the whole epistle here. But the first life question that Peter deals with here is this question. Do I have to be isolated and lonely from the world to be a Christian? In other words, do I have to remove myself from all that's going on out there in the world if I'm going to be a Christian? And the second question is, being faithful worth what it really costs? Is it really worth it all to set myself, my life aside for the way God wants me to live it? And is it really worth that cost? Then the third and final question of life that it answers is, what is the basic principle for the Christian as we live our lives? And we're going to see that principle there as we read it here in verses 5, 6, and 7 this morning. So whatever it takes in life, we are to follow the example of the sufferings of Christ in our lives. And Peter's epistle speaks much about the suffering of Christ and the suffering of God's people. And there's a correlation there, having faith in God and faith in Christ and the things that we suffer and go through in this world and this life. And Peter also sets forth, it's the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is what is where we're to hold on to. That's the direction that we are to yield ourselves toward and to go toward in our life. And he also expresses in here in the scriptures that it is our we have Christian responsibilities, and so we are to follow him and to serve him. So I want us to look now, first of all, at these four verses, and just kind of get a feel for the context where we're at. These are for pastors and leaders especially, but then he comes along in verse 5 and tells us that it's for everyone to submit one to another. First of all, he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So Peter says, I am an elder in the church. And the elders that are among you, as he writes to encourage these people, you need to recognize God's structure of authority in your midst. For there is where you're going to find peace and harmony. And so he talks about being there in authority and in submission to authority. And notice he correlates it with the sufferings of Christ. He says, I exhort you, I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And that is the coming glory of Christ. So everything that you and I go through in this life, anybody goes through in their life, it is for the looking toward of what God will reveal one day when he comes back again in all of his glory. So we can't see everything now. We only see it partly and just in a dimly lit light, and some things are hidden from us. But notice then he says, he moves in verse 2 to relationships. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. This is the elders and other leaders who are there. Feed the flock of God which is among you, and then taking the oversight. But notice he says, you're not to rule over people and dictate to them and to their everything in their lives, not by constraint, he says, but willingly, people to teach the Word of God and teach the truth and in fellowship and all the power of grace and mercy that goes on in the hearts and lives of God's people, willingly brings people to a knowledge of the truth. And there's this great harmony there. He says, also not for filthy lucre, not for the sake of money and material things, but do it out of a sense of a ready mind, a mind that is ready to defend the truth, but also to express the truth that people might see it and hear it. Then in verse 3, he addresses attitude. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So to the leadership, he says, to the pastors, to the elders, that would be deacons, teachers, any position in any church today where people are leaders of others, this is the attitude of heart that we are to have. Not as lording over other people, God's heritage, he says here, but by example. And so we are to work, we are to serve, and we are to go being an example to others. And then we see in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. So there's by revelation he shows and expresses to them that when the chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, shall appear, then those who know him and those who please him and serve him will receive a crown of glory, one that will never go away and no one can take that. It won't diminish, and those types of things. Well, with this as a context this morning then, let's come now and look at something, some spiritual principles for our lives as God has given them to us. He says in verse 5, likewise you younger. First he addressed the leadership. Now he is addressing the other readers in the churches there, the people who are not the leaders. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. There is just a common relationship of respect that everyone ought to have one for another. Those who are in position of authority and leadership are not to have an attitude of lording it over and of like that of a dictator. But at the same time, there is to be respect from the other side, or from the other end of the spectrum, for those who are not the leaders there. In other words, all of this is for harmony. We also see the great example of this is found in the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. He's the God of all. And the Son, Jesus Christ, when He came in the flesh, He submitted Himself to the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit does the works of Christ. And so we see in the deity, in the Trinity, there is our example. And Christ, who submitted Himself to the will of the Father, He suffered, and He suffered much. And He did it in your behalf and in my behalf. And so there is this high example there for us. Then He goes on to say in verse 5, Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. There is a spiritual principle that we see here beginning in verse 5, and that is the principle of submission. Now, we live in a day and time, and if you've gone through the Truth Project, you have a better understanding of that. But we live in a day and time where we have a rights-oriented society. Everyone's trying to defend their rights or to fight for rights or to gain more rights. And now it's to the point where people want to act up. People want to be immoral in their lives. And so now they want to claim it's their right to be immoral if they want to. And the rest of society should examine it and accept it. So we have a kind of a big mess on our hands, so to speak. But in the spiritual sense, and then within the church, and in the biblical ideal, the biblical presentation we have here, we are to submit ourselves one to another. And there is for the sake of peace and harmony, but also for the sake of joy, and the sake of mercy, and the sake of God's grace working in our lives, and for the sake of love, we submit ourselves one to another. Be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud. Now I want you to look or turn your Bibles, if you want to know, you can look up on the screen in your Bibles, to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Humility is one of the characteristics of God. God Himself demonstrated humility in His own expression toward His creation. Look with me, and we'll read in King James and then come.